Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Dave from the Zen Monastery Peace Center, Karen from North Carolina, and Tracy from Colorado. Welcome, all three of you.
Thank you, Michael.
Michael.
Great. Dave, are you there too?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Sorry about that. It wouldn't let me on the call for some reason.
Oh, no problem. No problem. It's muting and unmuting of its own accord here.
Ah, it has kind of its own program tonight.
Yes, not unlike something else we know of.
Good point.
Dave, tell us about what's new with meditation and discussion groups.
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Great.
Well, what's old about it is for years we've had satellite meditation groups that the monastery has supported all over the country, even all over the world occasionally, and that's been great. And we had an ambition for a really long time to really create a program that would sustain and support the people who took on that responsibility to start up and maintain a meditation group in some way that would really help them out and offer them ongoing training, offer them access to the guidance from the monastery that they might need, and those kind of things. And for and we had a way we did that, but for a long time we really couldn't put it together the way that we wanted to. And then a couple of years ago we had a sort of a breakthrough and found a way to do that and found that we had the resources to do that and so on. And along with that, we were able to invite new people in who had been around practice for a while, had quite a bit of practice under their belt. These are kind of long-term practitioners in the Sangha. And to invite them in and have them participate in the training towards setting up a group of their own at some point. So that started, I think, probably maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. And it's been going on every week, just about, with conference calls, and we've done a couple of retreats for facilitators, and this great program we've had, and we are now at the point where folks are ready to take their groups and go live with them out there. And so there's a number of people, like if a person were to visit the sitting group part of our website, you can see, there's a number of groups on there that have been there forever. Like there's one in San Francisco, there's one in Nashville, there's one in Philadelphia, like that. And there's a whole bunch of new ones that nobody's ever seen before. They're in all kinds of interesting places. And so that's where we are. And we're sort of putting this out to everyone with the understanding that for both sets, the people who have been doing it for a long time, people who are just kind of starting out, that everyone, and also actually for us here at the monastery, everyone is doing this as a part of their training. And so they have a facilitation practice that they are doing as a part of their practice to wake up and end suffering.
Great. Great. So a lot of expansion of practice opportunities for people out in the world.
Yeah, and it's such a good thing. I mean, truly, we've been wanting to do this for a really long time. And, it's a tremendous responsibility to represent practice in the world. Huge. I mean, as big as it gets. And so that's why, people who are new to practice aren't invited in this sort of opportunity, because it really takes a long time for someone to kind of get their feet under them in practice and really get a sense of what practice is all about, to learn how to communicate and seek guidance when necessary from the monastery and all the things that are required by someone for someone who is representing the practice in the form of a sitting group out there somewhere. And it's been really, I think for me, for all the monks, I think probably for everyone involved, inspiring and empowering to watch all of us go through this process and learn what it is that we need to learn in order to be able to represent practice, and understanding, of course, that learning never ends, that we're always attempting to learn what is practice and how to represent that in the way that it is going to give the people who interact with us their very best shot at a practice that offers them waking up and ending suffering.
Yes, it's a big responsibility.
It really is. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and a very exciting one, too.
Yeah, and so you'll see, if folks visit this page on the website, I'm looking at it actually right now, you'll see there's two boxes there. There's kind of two lists. And one, we're calling meditation groups, and these are folks who have been around for a while and are, have been doing it. And then we have another one we're calling discussion groups, just to sort of differentiate so people will know sort of what level of responsibility people have taken on who are leading these groups. And coincidentally, just one fun thing, as we've been going through and practicing, you know, everybody here has been practicing with a sort of a group that's been private to them. We've been using The Key, Sherry's first book, as a focus for the discussions. And as we've been training, we made it all the way through The Key, one or two pages at a time, 1 week at a time on whatever night the groups met. And we have just started a new book, which is Trying to Be Human, and we're in the second or third week now. So really, that's really kind of fun for us too.
Yes, great fun. And shall we hear from some of our facilitators?
That'd be great.
Great. Karen, could you tell us a little bit about your experience as a facilitator?
Well, thank you, Michael, and thank you, David and Tracy. This whole new program has been so inspiring for me and supportive of the experience and the training that I've been doing as a facilitator, which has been now for almost 12 years. And in that 12-year period, really feels like beginner's mind all along, and we've had training and we've had workshops, and the intensity of what we're doing now is so supportive, and so grateful for the program and for the opportunity to really feel that support and be able to put my best effort forward and represent practice.
Great. It sounds like you're experiencing a lot of additional support with this new program and a deepening of practice.
Most certainly. A really deepening of practice on all levels.
Great. Great. Tracy, tell us a little bit about your experience.
It's funny. I'm sitting here and I just thought, oh, wow, they're going to ask me next. And there's a place of going to, what am I going to say? And it just reminded me of facilitation where, most of my life I'm really preparing for what I think is going to happen. And probably one of the things I love so much about facilitating is it's about showing up and letting go of all of the voices that think that I should be doing something different than other than being there and responding. And just like this call, waiting, and not really sure what I was going to say, but in this real moment of responding. And, it's been interesting. I've seen more about myself in relationship to facilitation like Dave said, it's been a little over a year. And it's really fun. We get an opportunity to write, and we have a blog where we, all the facilitators write in after their group. And what comes to mind is I remember it was just right after like a year had passed, and I was going to my group, and the little voice is in the back seat of my car saying, oh, I hope something, nobody shows up, and I would rather be X, Y, and Z, and none of it is true. And it made me realize just how stubborn these voices are, because I'd seen it week after week after week, and they really held no energy, and yet they were still trying.
Yeah.
And it just makes me have just more and more compassion for just all of us as humans, and just how ingrained conditioned mind is, and realizing, what a courageous path it is to even be going up against it. And that's one of the things that I just love is every week I show up. And just, last night was an example. I had a new person, and I had an inkling they would be the only one, and all these voices about, maybe she should come doing an orientation at a different time so she's not the only one there, and just getting the information, just we're representing, you know, adequacy and trusting adequacy and, you know, showing up and doing it. And, you know, it was a really beautiful experience. And, you know, I don't know if I would have had that level of trust in adequacy or the experience of trusting in adequacy without the commitment of showing up irregardless of whatever the voices are yammering at me about.
Yeah. You're required to show up, and so you do.
And so I did, and, you know, each week it just always feels like it's like one of the, you know, it's like the oasis, you know, just touch this really nurturing, you know, I feel really filled up afterwards. It's, you know, conditioning would like me to believe that it's going to be something that's going to, you know, require some kind of energy or something, and I've always found that the energy that it is, it just feels really life-giving. I think it's, yeah, you know, when you, conditioning doesn't have any chance of getting in there, it really, it's, you know, being really present for another person. There's not a lot of opportunity for conditioning to come in there and zap all that energy. And so it feels like that 1 hour where it just can't get in there, and it feels really good.
Yeah. 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 It's great. It's great.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Dave, is there anything you'd like to add after hearing Tracy and Karen?
No, that's great. That kind of sums it up for me.
Great. Tracy, Dave, Karen, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Great. And
great.
You?
Great. The voices have been after me, and I suspect that's a good sign.
Well, what's their problem?
They have a problem with my life, which is not surprising and not new. And I'm just continuing to show up and participate.
Uh-huh. They're continuing to attempt to get you to believe that their projections about what's wrong with you are accurate and true.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when they project from a place of wrong, they do their best to get us to buy into those projections, and it's our best opportunity to say no and come back to here, huh?
Yes, yes, indeed. And I notice that they seem to ramp up more the more my life works.
Oh, yes, they become more desperate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when things are working for us, things are working for them, so they're pretty content to be quiet and leave us alone. But then if we want to take that outrageous step of having our own lives, then the trouble begins.
Yes.
For them, and of course they want to make their trouble our trouble, always.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God for practice.
Thank goodness for practice.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, I have to thank you for that. And I have some announcements here.
All right.
The Bridge Walk is still in the future, which means
no.
that there's still time to join us this coming Saturday.
This very one.
This very one. Also, the last day to sign up for the next quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies is October 2nd, which is also this Saturday.
Mm.
And, Sherry, you will be at Open Secret Bookstore in San Rafael on October 29th and at East West Bookstore in Mountain View on November 18th. And we are all invited to come out and help celebrate the launch of your new book, which is going to be unveiled this Saturday, I understand.
We have all fingers crossed.
Great.
Yes. Yes.
Great.
Hey, don't I get to go to San Diego in there somewhere too?
I'm absolutely sure you do.
Okay.
And I don't have the date right in front of me.
I don't either. I could offer it myself, but I think just in case anybody is at a distance, I think I get to go to New York and Connecticut and all kinds of exciting places.
There are
Seattle. There's a lot of fun coming up for me.
There is a lot of fun coming up for you, indeed, and for everyone who comes to see you.
I hope so.
Yes, indeed. And we have more fun in this very moment, even. We have callers here.
Oh, good. I wonder what you had in mind there. All right.
Okay, first caller. You are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael and Sherry, it's Rebecca.
Hi.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hey, I happen to know when you're going to San Diego.
Do you? When is that?
November 6th.
November 6th. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
And I just had this pang of homesickness when y'all talked about the bridge walk. I'm going to miss it this year. And I just miss Awareness Junkie Man and all that fun stuff you got planned. So, and I can't wait to see your book. So I'm just really going to be with you. Spirit, that's about the best I can do this year.
Or what you could do is call at the last minute and see if they have a seat on an airplane for you. You might try that, too.
You know, I don't know. Well, I would have a little maneuvering here, too, now that you're putting ideas in my head now, Sherry.
Good. That's my job.
Yeah, you do it well. Well, I wanted to... you gave a homework assignment back in October of 2006, and I did the homework today because I was listening to the archives and just heard the assignment yesterday.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. What was it?
It was great. You and Michael had an email class where you were talking about insights, and the question was the difference between thought and insight or something like that. And your homework was to look at there can be a voice there that says something, but it's not a thought. And it's not sort of that gotcha way that ego does. It's more of a helpful, you might want to remember your umbrella kind of way, you know, that guided voice.
Yes.
What came up as I was looking at that was this voice that I wouldn't call it exactly insight, but I certainly wouldn't call it conditioning. It feels like it's communicating to me something that it deeply wants its life to be. So it's sort of like language just kind of fails me, but here's the best I can do. It's sort of like I really want to give more time to these things, and I can't really because I have, you know, this full-time job and stuff. And so it's not really like an I want. That's not really accurate. It's more like a really deep sort of longing and,
mm-hmm.
you know, to practice more, to do more, you know, have more time for the volunteer work and to write, you know, and so I feel like I want to honor that and recognize it for one thing.
Yes.
But then that's kind of where it seems to end because I guess what I'm looking at and wondering is, is there anything else I can be doing to support that?
Well, when you talk, go ahead. Was there more?
Well, just one more thing is because that really feels like a slippery slope once I start asking, is there anything I need to do?
Yes, do is always the flag, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yet, the flag can simply be pay attention there, right? Doesn't
mm-hmm.
necessarily, we don't want to make a rule that any time there's doing, it's coming from ego because that certainly... isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that ego is always trying to get us to do something, but that's different from doing existing.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah? So when you were talking, I thought of that that line, I love you exactly as you are and I'll help you be any way you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you were to decide, because it you know there's a longing, so that seems worth attending to. And so you're going to be in relationship with this part of you, and that's the first thing we're sorting out, isn't it? Is this a legitimate part of the person? Something, you know, kind of a heart's desire category, or is this karmic conditioning trying to make trouble? You know,
mm-hmm.
because often karmic conditioning just holds out something other than what where I currently am as an ideal, so that it can then be act as if it's sad about how its pathetic little life is. So we're sorting out the difference between those two. So you're going to be in relationship with that that message to see if you can get a sense of where it's coming from, who's involved in this. So
mm-hmm.
then you find out that it really is your heart's desire, the old saw about not wanting to get to your deathbed and realizing that you've spent your whole life doing a bunch of stuff you didn't actually want to do because the voices said you had to. And
right.
so you're looking at it now, and this is the time. So, okay, you realize that that's the case. And then you begin a process, right, of being open to what the possibilities are.
Mm-hmm.
So life offers you something, and you get to hear what do the voices say to try to talk you out of that, to try to tell you that that's not possible for you, that's not going to work, when they're like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's really good, because as you were talking, I was just right with you, and what came up when you said that about what the voices say to try to talk you out of it was, this just kind of a glimmer of a possibility of something that would really move in the direction of my heart's desire, and the voice subtle, I can hardly even call it a voice, more of just an sort of a impulse was, no, don't go there because you'll be making waves.
Exactly. That's the kind of place we're looking, right? Because, for folks who have been doing practice for a while, karmic conditioning doesn't tend to hit you over the head with screaming messages of, oh, God, no, you're going to die. You know,
yeah.
it gets way more subtle when it's controlling life at the level that we're talking about. So, yeah, now you're looking at that, just kind of vague sensations and little whispers that mean... and yet it's doing the same job of keeping you on a particular, I don't want to say path because that's such a, you know, but a particular direction, keeps you going in a particular direction.
Mm-hmm. And a particular karmic cycle.
Yes.
Because this is really, really, really familiar, you know, that not make waves, stay with, you know, all that.
Yeah. And so for you and anybody else who wants to take something like this on, you know, that can be a fun project right there. You know, I think I'm going to start making waves just to see what happens.
Wow. I haven't felt afraid in a long time, you know, like that, like being hit over the head like you're talking about. But when you just said that, I felt it right in the middle of my chest. That's kind of fun to feel that again. It's like, oh yeah, I know how to do it. I know how to do this.
yeah. And so that's what we're going for. Now, do you want to become a person who just makes waves for the heck of it? No, of course not. But you do want to get to the other side of any lingering karma on that particular subject. So there, conditioning got heard whispering that message to you. So that's the one you're going to take on.
Yeah. And you know what else feels really good to have gotten heard is the longing, as the heart's desire. That feels like just a precious part of me that has been, that's just been so faithful and yet but overlooked for many, many, many years.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, now, because you're practicing at a subtle level, I have to offer this little warning that as soon as karmic conditioning gets it, that you'll respond to that, it's going to start talking to you in that language.
Oh, you know, I know that because I was watching as I was driving home today in the heavy traffic. I had plenty of time. I was looking at this, and what occurred to me was, I think this is how dissatisfaction happens, because it was mimicking that longing voice and kind of throwing examples or just, you know, dissatisfaction into the mix that wasn't really there before.
Yes, exactly. It's fun, isn't it? I mean, there's not a single moment where we can kind of nod off, because it's like, you know, all of those action movies that are so popular where, you know, it's just some bad guys coming at you from somewhere that you least expect it all the time.
Yeah.
So, got to be heads up.
Well, that's great. This is fun to look at, and sure made it a lot clearer getting to talk about it. So thanks so
good.
Much.
Well, yeah, and thanks for the little commercial for the archives of the radio show. People sometimes don't realize that they could be in these kinds of group discussions just practically around the clock and not run out of material. There are so many hours of them at this point. So,
oh, my God, and you know what? I found 2006. I'd never heard any of 2006, and so I feel like I just hit gold. It's so fun. For some reason, I thought it started in 2007 or something. I don't know. But anyway, so, yeah, it's a great gift.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Thanks, and y'all have a great weekend. And if I'm not there physically, you know, I'll be thinking about you.
We know you'll be there with us somehow.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks, Rebecca.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we did not pay her anything to say that.
Not a cent. If we had, you know, she reviews it for a plane ticket to get out here. That's how we can prove that.
Yes. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thanks.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Dana calling from New Hampshire.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
What's going on?
Well, it's raining here, is great. It's raining here.
Oh, wow. Huh. What rain?
Yeah.
That's that wet stuff, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I'm really excited that I'm going to be in Connecticut in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Very excited about that. And I wanted to put another plug out when I was listening to the last caller put a plug in for getting the group, Sunday group from the military, getting those recorded if you're a monthly donor.
Uh-huh.
So you actually get to listen to Sunday morning group at the monastery. And you can download those onto your iPod, and I have just loved them.
Oh, that's marvelous. That is a good commercial.
Yes. So if you're a monthly donor, that is one of the things that you can get.
Wow. Well, that's good. I bet if you go to livingcompassion.org, you can find out how to do all of those things, huh?
Yeah, yeah, great. That's great. So
yes.
I was really happy that the good news updates was about the groups, because I just had a discussion group tonight, and it was interesting because I had the discussion group, and then my plan was to get off the phone and call you. I mean, finish the group, call you, then after calling into the radio show and listening to the radio show, there was a reflective listening buddy call. you
good
know, I know. So listening was just like, are you kidding? I couldn't even fit it all in my day planner. Like, what is all this stuff? This is overboard. You've gone overboard. You know, this is too much. And it was quite something. You know, it was because, okay, well, just cut out calling Sherry. You're always the first to go. Don't call Sherry.
Poor Sherry.
I know. Just cut that out, because this is, a lot. So I'm just reporting that because, you know, I just heard that and then called in. So
yeah.
I just love
good
it.
You.
Because
what would you be doing instead?
Oh, I'd be fretting about them, probably. But
yeah.
The same thing happened with the discussion group, because there's always this, you know, now that it's on the web and, you know, we've got flyers up and everything, I advertised it more, and I actually had some more participants coming, some people who just found out about the Zen Monastery tonight and are just so excited about everything that's going on there and excited about the group. And conditioning has been saying to me for months, you can't really do the group where you're going to do it because your dogs bark, you've got, you know, your cats meow, you've got your railing falling apart, it was just on and on about all these things. And what I it was like walking through quicksand to get there. It was like, you know, listening to all of that, and it sounds so real, and so, yeah, you know, that's real hard. It's like calling Sherry. Yeah, you know, I just need to drop her tonight. It was that same kind of thing. And then to get to the other side and see, wow, not only is it possible, but it's great.
Yeah.
It's all a lie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And that's all such a good point. And as soon as we catch on to the fact that what conditioned mind is promising us, which is something really good, if we will just give up all this paying attention practice stuff, as soon as we catch on that paying attention and practicing is the good stuff, and what conditioning is going to deliver is guilt and fear and misery and dissatisfaction, when we get that, then the choice gets a lot easier to make. We still hear all the stuff, or we hear it for a long time, but we're just not buying into it in the same way. You know, the very process that it uses of deprivation and loss and urgency and fear and something wrong
its process of trying to talk us out of practice is really all the information we need that it is not a good ally in our life adventure.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the whole night was just perfect. You know, just seeing it one thing after another. And I love when something happens. It's like, oh, wow, you know, you're such a liar. You know, all this stuff you've been saying, all this, like, big fear. Yeah, for me, it's always set up. It's like really fear, like, or this is going to be impossible, or this isn't going to work. And so, you know, just stop before you start. Kind of thing, and you know, it's just been a great night, and I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Excellent.
And it's just fun to call in, and I'm really excited about your book, and I want to wish you guys a happy day on Saturday.
Oh, thank you.
I'd love to be there to see awareness.
And we can't go wrong. Apparently, somebody just told me it's supposed to be 74 degrees, just perfect clear weather in San Francisco on that day. So I figure it's Awareness Junkie Man is, you know, just going to bring the good weather in. And we can't have anything but a good time because we got people all over the world sending us all this great energy and participating with us from afar. So
yeah, it's going to be so great. Thank you, and thanks for
thank
the show.
You.
And
glad you didn't ditch me.
In a couple of weeks.
All right.
Sounds okay.
Good. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Julianne from Maryland.
Hey, Julianne.
Hi, how are you?
Do you have a report for me?
I do. I haven't been able to set up the recording on the phone yet, but I was calling in because and I will wait 6 weeks before I call again because I had agreed to, and I know it's only been two.
Just for the record, I wasn't counting.
I'm sure you weren't keeping track.
You can call in whenever you feel moved. How about that?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I'll remember that, but I'll try
all
not
right.
to, you know, whatever. So, okay. Well, the person that after I talked to you 2 weeks ago, it was an extremely helpful call. And first I wanted to tell you, thank you so much. From the bottom of my heart, I am, you know, practice is, just amazing. It's really, I feel very, very blessed and very grateful, and I have so much gratitude for being alive and for having this practice and being a part of it. And, it seems, it's hard for me sometimes to bring up this condition, but of course, ego is probably playing a hand in that, and I know that I need to I feel like there's a big piece of what, probably conditioning gets a hold of that is involved in what we were discussing last week. It was a little girl who felt that she hadn't. There's a part of me, a subpersonality, who freezes up and doesn't. There'll be like I don't know, many subpersonalities present at the same time, and she won't be the one that gets. And that's kind of who was doing a lot of the talking on that call. And she's in the background wanting to say one thing, the other thing's coming out of my mouth. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh, I do.
You know, someone else is doing the talking, and she's doing the, that's not what I'm going to be saying. So it was kind of what I heard from her was, you know, she said, you know, I will not be that deaf mute. I will not be an enabler in it because I have always kept a secret the way my mom is. And I know the example that I gave you with when you asked me for one, you may not remember, but
yeah.
of something she regularly might say to me that would be a put down. It wasn't quote mean enough or something, and certainly debatable as to whether or not it would be mean. It certainly interpret. You know, I understood your point, but there is a great history of terrible abuse and a person who pretended to her friends and her teachers and her and parents and peers said that I came from a perfectly normal household and kind of like I led a double life. And Dandy, the thing is that I've kind of felt that over the last few years since I've tried to rekindle for the first time this relationship with her that we didn't. No, we had, but it was just odd that she just tramples on the people who are nicer. I mean, I'm definitely not the, from everyone's perspective, she is mean. I mean, she, my dad, for example, is the most amazing person I know, and he's kind, graceful, extremely talented. He's an award-winning physicist at NASA. He's just so talented in so many ways, and my mom has stifled him in a way that she stifled my sister. She tried to stifle me. I'm the one person who really stood up to her, and then never really cared even about what I thought, and I never complained about it. I didn't, but now I can see that she, you know, this art thing is, and when she tries to, I guess this.
Julianne, hang on just 1 second. Just 1 second, Michael.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with this connection?
I don't know. I'm getting a little bit of cut out, which I think you're hearing also from Julianne.
Okay. Is it just on this call? Because I couldn't tell if it was me or you or her or all of us. Or is it okay, though? You can understand us?
I can hear most of it. It's cutting out a little bit here and there.
Okay.
I've been having trouble hearing the entire call, so maybe it's just
okay, then. Julianne, I think it might be me. So, Michael, can everybody hang on, and I'll call in on a different line?
Sure, and I am hearing you fine.
You are?
I am, yeah.
Okay, but Julianne's been having trouble the whole time, so I'm going to
try
a different line.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere. All right,
okay.
Bye.
Hello?
Jerry, can you hear me now?
Yes, I'm here.
Great, let's get Julianne back. Julianne, are you there?
Hello?
Hey.
Is that better?
I can't tell. That didn't sound better, but we'll give it a shot.
Okay.
So I feel like I was tracking, and let me reflect what I got so far. That the person who was talking to me last time, or talking to us last time, was telling one story that was kind of a familiar story, kind of the mm-hmm. public story, and
yeah.
the one who all of this stuff happened to was in the background going, no, 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 that's not it. You're not representing this correctly.
Right. Yep, exactly. And that happens a lot, even in other situations where, you know, and it's ego. It's just taking somebody hostage who hasn't always been able to think on her feet because she was generally acting in the first place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So your work now, I'm hearing, is going to be to begin to support her and
right.
let her give voice to her experience to you. I mean, it may go
mm-hmm.
wherever else and it may not, but at least she's going to have access to you and
yeah.
be able to tell the truth to you, tell the truth from her experience. And
right.
it sounds like was the one who was having the experience.
Yeah, and I guess there's a tendency for that to want. I guess that ego wants to have me proving things to the outside world. What really needs to happen is that little girl needs to be able to have a relationship with me.
That's right. Yeah, that's one of the things that conditioning tends to do to children is that you have to justify your position. You have to justify your experience. So something happens to a little kid and an adult will say, oh, it's not that bad. Now, why, you know, you don't need to be upset over that. That's nothing, and it's just such a kind of a fiendish approach generally. It's like, why can't I be upset? You know, you can't tell me what's upsetting and what isn't upsetting. But it happened to all of us. And then when it's compounded by a situation such as the one you're describing, it's really painful. It's always painful. It's really painful to that little person who has to say, no, no, you don't understand. It wasn't just bad. It was really, really, really bad. And so for her to have a chance to talk to somebody who can understand that it really was that way for her and can sympathize with her and you know, to help her have the life now that she didn't get to have then is really important.
So, well, there's this, like, I agree, and I will work on that, and that is the work. There's, like, because there's also this, like, an Emperor's New Clothes syndrome, where pretty much everyone just let her walk all over them and be awful, and I think you're going to disagree with me yet, but perhaps in some cases, I don't think it's ever okay to engage. I mean, like when anyone ever talks about what their ego is saying, the terrible things, it's as if my mom is being quoted constantly. And I don't want to put her down either. That's hard to even do. But anyway, to say the truth to her, honestly, I think is almost more healthy. I mean, I realize we're supposed to reflect, but she doesn't. She's not reflectable.
Yeah.
She doesn't listen to anything.
Yeah, and so to me, the opportunity that we have is first of all to free ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? So that's job one. So you're taking care of everybody who was affected by this woman. You know, they're no longer looking to her. They don't have a relationship with her. They have a relationship with you. And you're there to take care of them and support them and nurture them. And so it doesn't really matter any longer to them who that woman is.
Mm-hmm.
You with me on that one?
Well, I mean, there's a part of me that just feels like I have to not be in a relationship with her. I mean, there's this other part that says I should.
That's because those aspects of you who are still tied into her
right.
are responding. Yeah, so that's I would project that's probably a teenager who, wants to scream, go to hell and never go to that door again. Yeah, but now you're taking care of all these people. So you get to the place where you say, the reality is I know this woman, okay? I could pretend like I don't. There are lots of people in the world that I don't know, but the reality is I do know her. And so, and of course, I don't hold a belief system that says you need to be in relationship with anybody simply because you are from the same family or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't support that notion at all. So that's not where this is coming from. This
Got
is
it.
Coming from a, if you choose to go down this path. So you could become curious about what is it that goes on with this woman? Is she just mean and nasty? If so,
we've all wondered this for years. I've been curious about that since day one. And I do, but it's not like I don't. Hold anger.
Uh-oh.
And I know.
Julianne, I had a hard time understanding you on that one.
Okay.
So you've all wondered about it, and
Yeah, I mean, that's been a big mystery for years. You know, what is it? I think for everyone, it seems one could say that projection is behind all of our ill behavior. I think it can be made sense of by understanding where it, you know, came from initially, you know.
Here's the deal. I mean, again, you don't have to ever see or speak to this woman again, as far as I'm concerned. But it is not actually helpful for a group of conditioned people to get together to figure out someone else's conditioning.
Right, yeah. Okay, I understand.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we're all going to agree because we've all been conditioned the same way. So, of course, we're all going to say, oh, yeah, we're right, she's wrong, that's the end of it. But if you wanted to, have a possibility of a different relationship, then what you could do is begin, as we talked about last time, use her as a workshop opportunity, okay? And so you will begin to try all kinds of different responses. You know, you're going to channel Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. and Mother Teresa and the Buddha and Jesus, and you're going to channel all of these people to be in relationship with this woman, okay?
Okay.
So you can try humor. You can try incredibly clear messages. You can try ignoring her completely. You can try, you know, you could do any number of workshop exercises just to see what happens with you. Not her. You. Yeah?
Yeah, I feel like Ben doing that. I do want to do this, but at the same time, is it like an alcoholic going to a bar to do work? And is it like that?
Well, now, you need to hear me say this.
I know, you're not
saying
not I should
saying,
do this.
Right. That's right. You're the one who's bringing up the subject.
Yes.
Yeah, so it is clearly an issue for you. So if you, you know, if you say to me, God, Sherry, I'm a raging alcoholic. What should I do? Okay, I'm going to start working with you on things you can do about being a raging alcoholic.
Yes.
Yeah. And at a certain point, part of your workshop might actually be going into a bar. But it would be done very specifically with strict parameters. You know, you're on a field trip from the monastery. You're not just out there on your own floating around. I'm hoping what we're setting up with this, you know, really good structured parameters for you to work within so that the work really does benefit you and doesn't just get taken over by conditioning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I hope you're hearing, as I'm hearing, the folks who are really resistant to you getting to a place of freedom and clarity about this.
Yeah. Oh, there is, right.
Yeah. Conditioning gets to torture you a lot over this subject, and you being free of it is really threatening to some folks inside.
I know. I was thinking, they're all right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Everybody's listening.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. What was that?
Everybody is listening. Everybody is dialed into this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, I also feel a lot of opportunity as well. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. And the main thing is that all those little people who really did suffer in the circumstances are going to be freed of that suffering. And that's the thing that we don't ever want to lose sight of. You know, if something good happens for your mother in the process, well, good. That's icing on the cake. But that's not the real point of what we're going for here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
It was hard for me to bring all this up, but thank you very much.
Oh.
I will.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Take care. Talk to you soon.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Julianne. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to stop, drop, and breathe, and we'll be back.
Okay.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
This from Living Compassion.
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, can you hear me?
Can. Who's this?
Yes. Hold on. Phone. I didn't even expect to get on. This is Susan.
Hey, Susan. How
are
you doing?
It's cutting. I'm good. It's kind of cutting, Vanessa. I hope this works. I'm just checking back in. I called about a month or so ago about I would have called in because I'm always sort of taking care of everyone. I'm in the business of taking care of people. You had talked to me about, you know, giving myself at least an hour at night, just kind of about me and taking care of that little girl. And so I'm calling back to report to all the curious minds about what I discovered doing that. And
what happened?
Well, it's interesting. I realized that being focused on everyone else and all my clients and kids and family kept me or keeps me, because believe me, I'm master from me. And when I stopped or listened doing all that, I felt was bad or sad. I didn't like what I felt. Easier to keep busy taking care of everyone else.
Okay. So let me see if I get this right, because we do have that cutout thing going on again, or at least I do. So there you are, busy taking care of everybody else and exhausted. Yeah.
And then
some fool encourages you to take a little time every day for yourself, and you try that, and it's miserable.
I can't. Yeah. I mean, not every day, but if I do too much, I start to get sort of depressed and sad and lonely, just negative, and all I can think is, oh my God, what can I get out of this space? And then I get busy thinking about who needs me for, you know, for what.
Okay, so you actually, do you know that you never got to where I was encouraging you to get to?
Sometimes I do, but I have to stay in there a long time. I have to kind of get through the sad, lonely, scared, anxiety.
Yeah. Now, of course,
settle down enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, if I told you that sad, lonely, scared is called egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, trying to keep you stuck in old patterns that don't take care of you. Would that be appalling?
Surprising.
Yeah. And I'll tell you how I know. I can give you two reasons that I know that that's the case. The first reason is that those reactions are typical reactions of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, attempting to control a person's behavior. And the second part of that is that after a while, you can settle into taking care of yourself. That you have to get through all of that to get to you.
Yeah, and the thinking kind of goes like, see, this is what happens. This is why you should blank.
Yep.
This
you.
Is. Now you're really going to be lonely. Now you're really going to be depressed. Now.
You. So there's a voice, yes, talking to you about how what you're doing is the wrong thing to be doing. And look at how awful you feel as a result. And, of course, you know, anybody who has somebody telling them how wrong they are, how misguided and mistaken they are, will often not feel that good. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it feels the truth. I mean, when I'm in it, it's okay,
sure.
This is why I don't.
And here's the deal. Here's the beautiful part of this. You feel bad because that voice is talking to the person it always talks to make that person feel bad so that she can be manipulated into doing what karmic conditioning self-hate wants you to do. So I'm guessing that it's somebody who's fairly young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And so she's basically told all of this stuff. She feels terrible. She starts looking around for, okay, how do I get out of this? You know, I don't want to feel this way. How can I feel better? Karmic conditioning comes in and says, well, what you need to do is start focusing on other people. She goes, okay, whatever. You know, I'll do anything at this point if you'll just leave me alone. And off you go to feel exhausted and uncared for and all of those other things. So it's really quite perfect because the person who's there feeling lonely, now she's feeling that way because somebody's telling her to feel that way, right? So the person who's there feeling all those feelings is the person that you from center have an opportunity to embrace in loving kindness and compassion and free. So instead of becoming her and going, oh, God, I hate this, and looking to the abuser for an escape plan, you from center can say, oh, there she is. Oh, here, I can take care of you. I know how to take care of people who feel that way, because that you do know how to do that.
I do. I'm great at it.
You're great at it, exactly. So there, you've got another client.
And you know, actually, you said something too. It's funny how you just say things from here until I listen again about this whole taking care of other people. I was one of nine children, so I grew up taking care of people, about a misguided kind of thing about taking care of people. And I realize in that space where I'm not taking care of, really responsible, I'm like kind of lost, or she is, about what they do when you're not taking care of, you know.
Yeah.
I do think I made it into a career and I'm good at it, but I don't know that it's the best thing for me because it's an old, old pattern, you know.
And
what you're saying is,
go ahead.
No, try to disidentify from myself when I'm in that place, you know, that it's that you voice. I didn't catch that at all.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you're going to have that time with yourself, you want to plan it out, right? So it's, you know, you make a little date, and at this time, I'm going to get together with that part of me who works so hard and takes care of everybody else and never gets any care. And so then you make a little plan for what are you going to do. You know, you don't just stop doing everything. And this gal I used to work with had this image of being by herself was a fifth floor walk up with a bare light bulb hanging from the ceiling and a torn shade on the one window. Okay? So, no, that's not attractive. So what would be an attractive, appealing way to take care of that part of you who needs to be nurtured? And, of course, again, it's easy for you because you know what you how you would approach that with somebody else.
Yeah, because I do. I sort of do this cold view. I'm going 100 miles an hour doing other things. And then, okay, stop. Now it's time to take care. And then I'm just disoriented and lost. But you're right. If I plan something and give myself permission to have those things, that's the other half of it. You know, that it's okay to take care of myself. Yeah, then I don't feel like I'm running into a brick wall, which is kind
right.
of how
and as you do it more, you and as you get more in relationship with the various parts of yourself, they will begin to come up with what they want. You know, so one you might find somebody who wants to go to a park and swing.
Mm-hmm.
You might find somebody who wants to sit and color. Somebody who wants to bake something. Somebody who wants to sit in a hot tub or a hot bath. Somebody who wants to get a pedicure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So
parts
of you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I have to kind of just experiment because I'm just so locked into so many shoulds. You know, try things to like.
It's a new relationship.
What it is.
It's a new relationship.
Yeah.
You have to explore all the aspects of it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'm going to listen to you. And I just did want to follow up and tell you I really appreciate it. And it set into motion another whole thing. There was, you know, I was just surprised at how much was underneath that, you know, that surface when I actually did what you said.
Yeah. Oh. And there's practice, right? I mean that's what we all do with practice. We deal with one layer and then, hello. There's the next. And there's the next. And there's the next. And there's the next. And what we're doing, you know, it's like It's saving people who have been who are in a collapsed mine.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're
down there. We got to dig like crazy to get to them.
Yeah, and then all the behaviors that are layered on that are there for a reason. They're supporting something.
Yep.
You know, if you
that's
take
exactly
one away,
right.
And you go, "Oh my God, that's what that was supporting," and then I'm at this another whole level with it. So, any rate, I want to report back and thank you, and
good.
I will. Do the next
do that again.
Piece later.
All right, and report back. All right, thank
all
you.
Right, I will. Thanks, Sherry.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Another great show, Sherry.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Maybe we can figure out what the heck that cutoff business is, because it seems like no matter what I do, I'm having that experience. So.
Yes, and I don't think
we can.
I don't think it's just you. I was hearing it as well.
Okay. All right. So we'll work on our technological opportunities and get together next week, huh?
Yes, indeed. After
hey,
the
I'll
bridge
see
walk.
You Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
At the bridge walk.
Thank you,
thanks,
Sherry.
Michael.
Good night.
Good night.